May the Lord answer the prayer of that hymn which our friend has chosen, which we've just sung. And may the Lord draw us to the truth of his holy and sacred word. As I would direct your attention by way of a text to the chapter we read in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 9 and verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offence. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans chapter 9, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offence. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Paul here writing to the church at Rome, under the influence of the Spirit of God, testifies very clearly of the sovereignty of God. God, who created the heavens and this earth and all that there is in them, he forms a people for his praise. Sons of Adam and of Eve, who are sinners, he forms them for his praise. Dear friends, it's not our choice. For all creatures of Adam's race are born in sin, shapen in iniquity, dead in trespasses and in sin. And yet the scriptures speak of this power to save, power from the wrath of God in that day to come of judgment. Dear friends, we should tremble at the word of God as to who we are and the condition of our souls before a holy God. The Apostle Paul often refers back to the scriptures of the Old Testament, which were the scriptures of his day. We read there how God chose Abraham. We do not know why God chose Abraham, we are not told. Abraham of the Ur, the Chaldees, God spoke to him to come out, to leave that place, and to go in the way that God would have him go. And Abraham was given faith to obey the command of God. Dear friends, where the will of God is done, it has to be through the power of God, through God-given faith that overcomes our own will, our own earthly power, our own spirit. And if it was not such for the sovereign power of God, dear friends, there would be no one in eternity in heaven, would there? We would all die in our sins and be in that torment of hell forevermore. Abraham had a wife who was barren, and they took it in their own will and their own understanding. They did that which they seemed right in their own eyes. that Abraham should have a child. And by the maid of Sarah. For God had spoken to Abraham again, that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham complained to God he had no seed. And even though the promise of God was that he would give him seed, the matter was taken because of the delay of God's timing. Our times are always ready, aren't they, when the Lord speaks. Maybe that promise to us. Oh, we want it to be straight away, but we have to abide God's time. That in the end, it comes through faith to the honour and glory of God. Ishmael was born. Oh, but he was not called the son of God by God. The son of Abraham, sorry, by God. Because the seed was to be in Isaac, who was to be born by faith, when it was not naturally possible for Sarah and Abraham to have children. They were too old. But through faith, in God's time, Isaac was born, and of whom God said, in his seed shall all the nations be blessed. Oh, dear friends, if we to know prosperity upon this earth in our lives is to be by faith in God, isn't it? That's a solemn word. That which is not of faith is sin. And God looked upon Isaac and said to Abraham, thine only son Isaac, Ishmael had had to go. He was not considered a son. Not for any blessing. Oh, how solemn these things are that have continued to this day. Are they not through the seed of Ishmael? But all things are in the hand of God. He's the sovereign ruler of the skies. He's ever gracious, he's ever wise. The wife of Isaac, Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac. And Rebekah came through answers to prayer and the influence of God. And she was made willing to come, be the wife of one she did not know in a different land. And Rebekah was barren also. Isaac had to entreat the Lord for his wife. Rebekah. And Rebekah conceived. There were twins in her womb. And she prayed to God herself, why has she had all this pain and discomfort of, as it were, fighting within her? And God said, two nations are in thy womb. And the elder shall serve the younger. The younger was Jacob. And God declared, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The sovereignty of God. They were both sinners, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The difference was the sovereign love and grace of God upon one and not upon another. Oh, dear friends, how solemn are these truths concerning the will and the purpose of God. God is the same. God is the same today as he was then. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. What a division. Now, dear friends, the division is this, as we read in this chapter. Vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. We're all sinners. Everyone has been sinners. Jacob was a sinner. Esau was a sinner. But Jacob was a vessel of mercy, a vessel unto honor. Esau was a vessel of wrath, God's wrath, because he would never be delivered from his sin. A vessel unto dishonor. Oh, dear friends, how these things should cause us to search our hearts when we read the scriptures. What vessels are we? We have to be shown, don't we? We have to be shown that we are sinners and need the saving grace of the Lord God Almighty through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Oh, dear friends, Paul, he puts natural reason here, doesn't he? Wilt thou say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Oh, how we can object, saying God is not righteous. Surely everyone should have a hope of eternal life. Well, dear friends, that hope is through Jesus Christ. That hope is through believing in Christ. Believing in him comes through faith. And faith is the gift of God. And he makes a people for his praise. Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? Not just of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Even us, as Paul says, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Isaiah said, Israel is as the sand of the sea in number, but a remnant shall be saved. So even of the seed of Isaac, even of the seed of Jacob, are called Israel. Dear friends, amongst that seed, there were vessels of honour and vessels of dishonour. Oh, how solemn is the sovereign will, purpose of God. And it's only people are saved by the sovereign grace of God. A remnant shall be saved. Dear friends, if Israel were to be as the sand of the sea, what about the Gentiles, such as us? We're in far greater number than the sons of Jacob. But it's a sacred truth, a solemn truth. A remnant shall be saved. The Apostle Paul here refers back to the Old Testament and to the prophecy of Isaiah as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offence. You know that's taken, isn't it, from, if you've got a margin, it probably refers you to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14. There is testifying of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Saviour, the one promised unto Abraham that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. And how that seed follows on through the Old Testament to be in the line of David and to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me, says Isaiah, that I should not walk in the way of this people, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy? Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. In other words, don't be confederate with the things of this world. That won't bring you life eternal. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Oh, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And he goes on to say, and he shall be us for a sanctuary. A prophecy of the coming of the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners, a refuge. A refuge for sinners whom the gospel makes known. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He shall be for a sanctuary, to enter in to the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offence to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Dear friends, Paul here mourns over the state of his kinsmen, the Jews. He says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He says in the next chapter, doesn't he? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh, they would not submit unto the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. A stumbling block and a rock of offence. Oh, dear friends, when Jesus came and was born and grew to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, how he was despised and rejected by those Jews. They looked at him with their own reasoning. They looked at him with their own thoughts and their own understanding, their own interpretation of Scripture. Why, they did not acknowledge his birth. They said, wasn't it? Was in the case when Jesus healed the blind man in Jerusalem. Oh, for we know not from whence he is. We know not from whence he is. Oh, was he not called Jesus of Nazareth? Yes, but, oh, in their reason, read the scriptures, no good thing comes from Nazareth. Oh, when the birth of Jesus was testified in Bethlehem, by the wise men and by the shepherds. They did not believe, did they? Few believed, if many at all. We know not from whence he is. And through his teaching of the people, oh, it was said he teaches us as one that hath authority, but not as the scribes. But they questioned, they doubted, from whence hath this man letters? For having never learned, he never went to the schools of the scribes and the Pharisees and of the Sanhedrin and so forth. They did not believe, even though the word of truth was spoken by him. And what about those miracles? On one point, in more than one point, Jesus saith, believe me for the work's sake. Oh, they said, this man casteth out devils by the prince of the devils. He was called Beelzebub. They asked of him a sign from heaven that he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah. Jesus said, no sign shall be given except the sign of Jonah, who was in the sea for those 3 days, 3 nights, and was brought forth alive from them, signifying Jesus of the death he should die, and on that third day rise again, the power of his resurrection, the power of his death preceding it, laying down his life a sacrifice for sin. Dear friends, these truths were a stumbling block. They were a rock of offence to those unbelieving Jews because of their unbelief. They had no faith imparted to them by the Holy Ghost. Oh, dear friends, we're told to covet earnestly the best gifts, aren't we? What about us? What about us? Is the truth as it is in Jesus a stumbling stone? Is it a rock of offence? In our own earthly wisdom and our own earthly nature and our own evil hearts, it will be, it is. We have no desire, have we, for Jesus? We have no desire to submit to his righteousness. Our desires are found in the things of this world. We're of the earth, earthy. We want all that is good and prosperous. And oh, we look to the world to supply our needs. And we do need the world to supply our needs daily for our food and drink. And but we never act but those who do not believe in God and in Christ. They never acknowledge, oh, the long-suffering and loving kindness of the Lord to supply those needs to us. No, we glory in that which is round about us, naturally and in the flesh, and serving our own lusts and our own pride. And we will not have this man to rule over us. And when he comes to the truth, oh, what foolishness. What foolishness that I should need someone of ages gone by to give himself and let himself be crucified on Calvary's cross and to be laid in the tomb. Oh yes, that Bible says he rose again. But how could that blot out my sins, my transgressions? There's no fear of my sin me before God, before my eyes. No, they, by nature, we just glory in our flesh, don't we? We might even be like the Pharisees, like the Jews. They held to the righteousness of the law. Well, we have it here, don't they? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Oh, dear friends, are any of us like that? Seeking our righteousness and acceptability before God to be by the works of the law. Yes, we're to obey the law. We're to seek to do what is right in accordance with the law, the word of God. Those commandments which are for our guidance and keeping here upon this earth. But, dear friends, they'll never attain to us a sufficient righteousness for heaven above. For except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, how easily we can just look with reasoning of our minds, to look with our own eyes upon how we live our lives, and the ways of ourselves are clean in our own eyes. But we know not the breaking of our hard hearts and submission to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, unbelief from our hard hearts, then the truth of Jesus is a stumbling block, a stumbling stone and a rock of offence. But Paul also refers here to Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Why does he say therefore? Because there are those that had made lies their refuge. and falsehood, they had hid themselves. They were hiding under their own goodness, their own understanding, their own reasoning power, their own intellect. They were living their lives in accordance with their own selves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth, shall not make haste, not seek to depart from it. He will abide and stay there in that which he hath been revealed to him, the gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ described here as a foundation stone, a tried stone. Oh, dear friends, the Lord Jesus, he was tempted and tried in all things such as we are, wasn't he? But he without sin, oh, the power. Power to save, power to shed his blood. Power to be a sacrifice for sin. A power to lay down that life with all the sins of his people imputed to him, that he may be pleaded, that he may be believed on, that sinners may come and fall before him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cause me to know the power of that shed blood of Christ, the atoning blood of the Lamb of God, to cleanse me from all my sin. Oh, dear friends, that's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That's the gift of faith, isn't it? That's the vital thing, the one thing needful we all have need of as we journey through life younger and older. God, through his gracious mercy, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Now, friends, the cornerstone, that word stone there, is literally meaning the building stone. And in those days when cities were built and the walls were around it, the most important stone was the cornerstone, upon which it had to take all the weight and all the burden of all that the walls would be upon it. And so of a suffering Saviour, Jesus, taking upon him all the sins of that which is called his church. Did not Jesus say, upon this rock, that was himself, the truth that he was the Son of God? Not upon Peter, he was a stone. But this was upon the rock, a greater than a stone, a greater than Peter, in all Peter's boldness and so on as a disciple. It is upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A mighty Saviour, to blot out all transgressions and all sins, that a poor needy sinner coming unto him will find that grace and power to be saved. And then they become, oh, it says Peter himself who writes it, isn't it? A living stone. Peter in his epistle is speaking of these living stones. If ye so have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, what a sacred truth. The seed promised at the beginning. Yes, the seed of the woman by God spoken in that garden, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. the sound of this truth of Christ gone out into all the world. But dear friends, how many hearts, a remnant shall be saved. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it? Oh, I pray earnestly that each of us may know this taste of the goodness of God in the gift of his Son, the sweetness of our soul's salvation, the joy of his salvation within our hearts. Dear friends, it's to be prayed for those who tremble at the word of God, those who tremble to know lest they should be a vessel of wrath, not a vessel of mercy. Plead with him for pardon. Who can need it more than we? Or may it be, dear friends, that each of us can testify of that which we've tasted. The Lord is gracious. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. We have to say then, don't we, dear friends, why me, why me? Oh, but we rejoice in Christ our Saviour. Rejoice in that love that is imparted to our soul. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, made like Christ. Oh, like him we shall rise. Yes, to be joined with him in that last day, with Christ in the skies, to be taken into that blessed eternity. Delivered from our just desert of the wrath of God and sentenced to that hellfire. Then, dear friends, if we have tasted of this, then Peter says, chosen of God and precious, oh, precious Jesus will be unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. A value, a greater value than all the things of this world. We value things in this world, don't we? Or we value our loved ones, our near and dear ones, our children, our families, and things of perhaps friendships and, yes, material things. We place value upon them where they supply our bodily needs. There's many things of value. But, dear friends, none of those things, even our loved ones, can grant the salvation of our souls, can bestow upon us a true hope of eternal life. That's Jesus alone, isn't it? Note, it is singular, isn't it? I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offence. All that what it is to unbelievers. But whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Never be ashamed of Jesus. Oh, his power, his might hath destroyed Satan. Yes, you will be tempted and tried because your heart within you will still lead you into ways of sin and backsliding and iniquities. Oh, we shall tremble at what we are, lest we shall be found to be cast out at the end of our days. We shall never be able to acclaim a righteousness sufficient for salvation, shall we? But the Lord who hath begun a good work in you, this sovereign grace, oh, over sin abounding, believing on him, we shall never be ashamed. We shall never lose fully that hope. Oh, Satan might try to take it from us. As Jesus said to his disciples, Satan that desired to have you and sift you as wheat. And he does do that. Dear friends, the testimony of our late friend Mary Morris witnesses of that. But he cannot have his own people. No, Satan walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he may not devour those for whom Christ died. That shed blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. His people are, as it was said concerning Joshua the high priest, a brand plucked from the burning, clothed now with new garments, not the garments of sin and iniquity, but of righteousness. A righteousness wrought out through the shed blood of Christ. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The margin says confounded. It's the same word in the Greek. There's our hope. There's our trust. And our dear friends, I trust that's why we are here this morning. To ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, dear friends, perhaps you do have a stumbling block. Perhaps there is a rock of offence there. Oh, perhaps you do mourn over unbelief. We read of one, don't we, who came unto Jesus. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Dear friends, he giveth more grace. He increaseth the faith that those that cry unto him in their trouble, and he blesses them indeed. They that believe on him shall not be ashamed. Why, their testimony is this, isn't it? My hope, as of glory, of eternal life, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Peter says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Ye should show forth his praises. He's of value to you. Oh, is your honour, your glory, isn't he? He has called you. You've been saved by his grace, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offence. Left to our nature, dear friends, that will be as it is, like that. We will not have this man to rule over us. We will not desire to have him within our hearts. Many Jews didn't, did they? And they still don't today. But whosoever believeth on him, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved. Those believing views, that knowledge of that love and mercy within us, dear friends, is known and felt. It isn't something just we think of and work in our heads. It becomes in our hearts, changes our hearts, renews our will, turns our feet, yes, to Zion's hill. And we read, don't we, of the Lamb on Mount Zion in the book of the Revelation. The glorious Saviour in heaven above, who's gone to prepare a place for all those he died. And they shall come. And Jesus said, those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Those whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Dear friends, here's our hope. Here's our trust. Here's our steadfast salvation. The Lord bless you each with the knowledge of this truth. Bring you out of that nature's darkness, which we all have, into his most marvellous light, and lift to the honour and glory of his name. Amen.